Okay, Shalom Aleichem, good morning everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Chol Moed Sukkot. It's been several weeks since we last met, so I'm going to begin tonight with a very, very brief recap. And even if the chazar that we do in the first few minutes tonight is not sufficient, I can assure you that you will not be lost for the rest of the evening, but it would still be kedai, obviously, to review anything that doesn't sound familiar. So we've learned already that the Mishnah in the very beginning of the Masechta Daf Bez Amud Aleph tells us that there are a different number of judges that are needed for different types of cases. The Mishnah begins by telling us that Dini Mamonos require three judges, and Gezelos and Chavalos require three judges. Gezelos means issues having to do with theft. We had a lengthy discussion about a month ago about what that would include, and Chavalos, injuries. And the question that the Gemara began dealing with, which we spent most of the last year talking about, is why the Mishnah states, Dine Mamonos Bishlosha and Gezelos Chavalos Bishlosha. After all, Gezelos Chavalos are included in Dine Mamonos. Dine Mamonos is a very, very broad category that includes all monetary civil disputes. The halachic opposite or the counterpart, if you will, Dine Mamonos is Dine Fashos, capital cases. So included in Dine Mamonos is Gezelos Chavalos. So the Gemara suggests, in the beginning of Beis HaMadbeis, and this takes us through the sugya that we're going to pick up on this evening, that there are different types of Dine Mamonos. There are Gezelos Chavalos, but there's another category that's called Hodos V'Havos. Hodos V'Havos means admissions and loans. We can argue for the moment civil disputes, but perhaps on somewhat of a lower scale in terms of the need for certain types of judges. And the Gemara suggests, therefore, that the reason why the Mishnah presents first Dine Mamonos B'Shlosha and then Gezelos V'Chavalos B'Shlosha is to tell you that Gezelos V'Chavalos require a certain number or a certain type of judge that is not required for Hodos V'Avos. So where we left off last time, if you recall, towards the bottom of the Amud, is talking about this concept of Erev Parshios, literally a mixture of Parshios. The Gemara introduces this very fascinating notion that the idea of three judges, and specifically three mumchim, three expert judges, which come from the word Elohim, which is repeated three times in the Parsha of Shomrim, so that's actually used to, and that's actually applied to talk about a different area of halacha, namely when it comes to loans. And the reason we were able to take a din from one pasuk, or one parsha in the Torah, and apply it elsewhere, is based on this concept of Erev Parshios, that there's this mixture of Parshios, and there's a certain din, a fragment that's found over here, ki huzeh, and it really belongs elsewhere. So that, again, if that sounds familiar, great, and if it doesn't, don't panic. But what we're going to do this evening, we're going to pick up towards the bottom of this page in Beis HaMadbeis, and the Gemara right now, the question we're going to deal with right now is, okay, so we know that there's a difference. For those who've just come in, just let you know that there are sheets on the bima. If you didn't grab it on the way in, you may want to get one sooner than later. So, we know that there's a difference between Hodos V'Avos and Gezelos V'Chavalos, which means we know that when it comes to Dine Mamonos, they're not all the same. And different types of judges are necessary in different cases. So now the Gemara's question is, okay, so what is the difference? Ulamai. And over here the Gemara says, this is about 10 lines or so from the bottom of Beis HaMadbeis. Ulamai. Ilema de lo ve'inan shlosha. If the difference between Gezelos V'Chavalos and Hodos V'Avos is to tell me that we don't need three. V'amar Ravo, didn't Ravo teach Shnayim Shadana Dini Mamonos as every Akol and Dinei Amdil? How could you tell me that? After all, Ravo himself taught, and Ravo is one who suggested the answer that we're working with right now, that anything less than three judges in all areas of Din is insufficient, that you need at least three judges. So you can't tell me that Gezelos V'Chavalos requires three judges and Hodos V'Avos only requires two. That can't be. Ella, says the Gemara, and this is going to be the working argument that we're going to work with this evening, the lo be'inan mumchim. The Gemara says, basically, you're right, you do require three, but whereas Gezelos V'Chavalos require three mumchim mean expert judges, people who are experienced, who are knowledgeable, people who have smicha, so they are required to adjudicate matters that are in the realm of Gezelos V'Chavalos. Hodos V'Avos, this other sort of lower level of Dine Mamonos, so those can be those can be adjudicated by three hegiotos, which mean three judges. They're qualified, but, you know, barely, and do not have the same qualifications, the same experience as mumchim. So says the Gemara, questioning that theory, says the Gemara, my kasavar, what does Rabbi Bo hold to suggest such a thing? I kasavar eruv parshios kasav kan, which means if you assume that in fact there is a interconnection between these two parshios, so then liboy nami mumchim. Then we should say that just as three judges, three expert mumchin judges are required here, they should be required there as well. If you assume that these two parshas are really not connected, so shlosha lami, then you shouldn't need three at all. What's at the root of this question is the following, and that is that the source for three judges comes from the fact that the Torah says Elohim, Elohim, Elohim three times. Well, Elohim, that word, as understood in the context of this parsha, means an expert judge. So we can't separate, says the Gemara. How do you separate the requirement from three from the requirement of mumchin? They're coming from the very same source. So if we're looking at this source in the Torah as the source for this halacha, then we should require three mumchin. And if we're not looking to this as the source, then even three shouldn't be required, then perhaps one should be enough. So says the Gemara, Liolam Kasava Ira Parshas Kasav Khan. Really, we hold that there is a connection between these parshas. Ubedin hu, and really, min ha-Torah, on a Torah level, liboy nami mumchin. You really should require three expert judges for all civil disputes. V'hadalobi inam mumchin, and the reason why mumchin are not required when it comes to ados v'avos is based on Rabbi Chanina. The Amar Rabbi Chanina, this Rabbi Chanina taught, Devar Torah, two lines from the bottom of Beis Hamidrash. Devar Torah means, doesn't mean I'm going to tell you Devar Torah. Devar Torah means a Torah matter, on the Torah level, midoraisa, echodini mamonos, echodini nefashos, bedrisha v'chakira. All matters of din, dini mamonos, civil disputes and capital cases, require drisha v'chakira. Drisha v'chakira, says Rashi in the bottom of the page, tzarech livdok es eidim be'ezayom, be'ezashah, halveho, etc. You have to ask lots of questions, such as what day and what time did this loan take place. We're going to talk more about Drisha B'Chakira in a moment, but in a general sense, that means the witnesses have to be very carefully examined and interrogated. And this is required across the board by all matters of din. Shin Ne'emar, as the Pasuk says on the top of Gimel Amin Aleph, Mishpat Echad Yelachem. The Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, there is one system of law that is to be for you. As if to say that there is consistency throughout the entire Torah. Says Rashi on the top of Gimel Amin Aleph, Mamonos Kenefashos, that there's one basic fundamental rule that applies across the board when it comes to all judicial matters, whether they are civil matters or capital cases. The Kevin Tachsiv Drisha B'Chakira B'Dinah Nefashos, and since what Drisha B'Chakira is written by Dinah Nefashos, as it says, the Rashi V'Chakarta Hu Hadin L'Dinah Mamonos. So it applies really also everywhere. Umatam, so then why continues Rav Chanina? And says, why then is the reason, what is the reason that Amru, that Chazal have said, Dini Mamonos lo be'in Drisha B'Chakira? Why is it that Chazal said, it's true, that Min HaTorah, Drisha B'Chakira is necessary everywhere, but we are going to step in and say that this requirement is going to be suspended when it comes to Dini Mamonos. When it comes to Dini Mamonos, we are not going to grill the witnesses quite the same way we would if we were Dini Nefashos. We're going to ask them some questions, as we'll see, but we will not be nearly as thorough. We are not going to interrogate them quite in the same comprehensive way. And why is that? Kidei shelo tino delas bifnei lovin. Literally, we do not want to close or lock the door in the face of people who are in need of loans. Meaning what? If a person comes and he wants to borrow money from me, so if I'm a generous person, I'm in a position to give, I'm going to give. But I'm going to first think to myself, what problems, if any, am I going to have collecting from this guy if he doesn't come forward on his own to pay? So what are the sorts of problems that can come up? I won't find the guy. I don't know where he lives. So I'll deal with that. I know where he lives. I know where to find him. Good. What happens if he reneges on the loan? What happens if he starts playing games later and he says he doesn't owe me or he paid me back? So I may have to pursue the matter then. So what am I going to have to do? I'm going to bring witnesses. Okay, so I have witnesses today. But what happens if I know now in advance that these witnesses are going to be interrogated very thoroughly and very you know, very meticulously and painstakingly by the Bezdin, so that even if they are telling the truth, they're still gonna, their stories are not gonna pan out quite in the same way, and I'm gonna end up losing. I'm not gonna be able to collect my money because the witnesses will be thrown out, even though really they're telling the truth. That would be in a sense not just a miscarriage of justice in this case, but when you take a step back, that would be a real tragedy, a travesty, because that will basically take away. Whatever incentive people would have to give money will suddenly be taken away because they're going to be concerned that they're not going to be able to collect. So in order that we should not place such an obstacle, such a hindrance in the way of potential lenders, therefore Chazal suspended this requirement for Drisha v'Chakira when it comes to Dina Mamonos. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't say it, but essentially what the Gemara is saying, so the same is true over here. The same is true as required in Mumchen. Really, expert judges should be required in all matters of law. Not only Dina Fashos, Dina Mamonos as well. But just as Chanina said, Drisha v'Chakira is not enforced when it comes to Dina Mamonos, because we do not want people to think too much before lending money. For that reason as well, we suspend, or we essentially we eliminate the requirement, the need for mumchen, for expert judges, for the same reason. This is found in Rashi. Says Rashi, Shalotino Delas, third line on the page, Sheyimnu Milahavos, they will be prevented from lending money. Shemi Yichpa Ve'edim Yitzpa, because maybe the guy will renege on a loan, he'll deny that he owes me money, Ve'edim Yitu, and the witnesses will trip up in their testimony. Ve'loti Yidusim Echubenes. Their testimony will not be precisely exactly, they're not going to say the same thing exactly, because the judges were asking them so many detailed questions. The after, and I them out there, I'm going to lose out and I won't be able to collect the debt. The hachanami, so here as well, shema lo yimtza mumchin l'chofa l'din. Let's say I have to collect this loan, but in order to collect it, I have to find three mumchin. That's hard to find three mumchin. Three mumchin mean I'm going to have to really take a whole day off of work and schlep the guy into the big city and wait online and bring my case before the court. That's too much of a tircha for me. If I knew that there was a dispute that came up, so I could bring three guys over from shul and say, can you do me a favor? Can you guys sit down? And could we just have a quick ad hoc bezdin that we'll meet together right now. They're not mumchin. They don't have to be mumchin. Okay, so I know that at least I'm covered. That if I have to collect money from this guy, I'm not going to have to go and find mumchin. Yeah, Richie. We have. No, we're saying hodos vavos. I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. Hodos vavos in this category, gzeos v'chavolos. So we're going to hold them to the same requirement of three mumchin. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's necessarily in that. Yesh kach b'yachacham l'akadavim ben atorah b'shevet al-tasa means that there are times that Chazal can contemporarily suspend a requirement, a mitzvah, taking us not to bring a lulav or shofar, you know, on Shabbos. This is, I think, is a little different. Over here, the Torah is a certain requirement, a certain expectation, and this sounds a little more to be like a tikkun olam, right? The Mishnah and Gittin have a whole list of different things that were instituted in Shem Tikkun Olam, and you know, the Chazal identifies certain problems in society. Things are not working quite the way they should, and so therefore the answer seems similar in some respects to Prusbel. You know that Midir Rabbanan, there was a chiyuv of Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, but then you know problems were arising, and so therefore the institute. I understand, but I'm not talking about how it works. I'm not talking about the mechanism behind it, but I think it's more, you know, Mishum Tikkun Olam. But one thing is for sure, and that you do see the strength of Chazal over here, without a doubt, that the Torah says we require Mumchin, we require Drisha v'Chakira, and Chazal step in and they say, you know, we're going to lower that requirement. Yeah.
The Mishnah mentions Gevela, and then we get to the fact that that's in a different category. Why mention the same thing to something that's in the same category to get to the other part? Instead of mentioning Gevela and Chavolos, mention this category?
Well, the way, I don't know if you remember, but the way Rav Ahu basically explains the Mishnah, he says, Dinim Amidus B'Shlosha. What are the Dinim Amidus that require three? Gizelus V'Chavos B'Shlosha. V'Alhodos V'Havos don't. In other words, the way the Mishnah reads according to Rav Ahu, it's only talking about Gizelus V'Chavos. Hodos V'Havos are not included in that statement of Dinim Amidus B'Shlosha. That's the way.
So wouldn't it make more sense to put the, what's in a separate category up second as opposed to...
Yes, so that's the Gemara. Yes, correct. The Gemara is going to ask that. We're going to get to it this evening. The Gemara is going to say, so just say Tarchi Ketani. Just say it's teaching two different Dinim. Hodos, right, so the Gemara is going to ask that question and basically say you're right. But correct. But we're agreeing fundamentally on where we are just in terms of the format of the Mishnah. Yes. No, there are two.
Muslim or not, and then you're talking about the witnesses and being, you know, asked a lot of questions.
Right. So I apologize. So there are two different issues over here. One issue is the level of scholarship, of qualification of the judges. That's the question of Mumchen versus Hedyotos. That really is the source din. That's really what we're talking about here. The requirement for Mumchen as opposed to for Hedyotos. The Gemara explains the reason why we Chazal lower the standards based on another din, namely that drisha v'chakira, careful examination, interrogation of... No, but just that drisha v'chakira, careful interrogation of the witnesses, minatora is required across the board by all laws, not only the nefanishes and the imamos, but Chazal relax the standards when it comes to the imamos. Why? Because they saw the need to make sure that people who were in a position to lend money would not be discouraged from doing so. So just like over there, when it came to the drisha v'chakira, when it came to the process of examination of the witnesses, the standards were relaxed. So too over here, when it came to the qualifications of the judges, the standards were relaxed. For the same goal, the same objective, Kadeshal Otino Delas Bifnei Lovin. So we not make it too difficult for people to lend money. But you're right, but really there's two definitions over here. One is the process of interrogation and the other one is the level of the judge.
Why is it easier to lend the money when they're not convinced?
No, because again, if a guy's lending money and he's just thinking worst case scenario is this guy gives me a hard time. When I come to collect it, he doesn't have the money, he denies it, he says, I don't know what you're talking about, I pay back. So I have to prepare myself in my mind, the worst case scenario. What am I going to do?
But that would only be associated with
the mukha. No, hold on one second. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to sue him. Good. What's involved in suing a guy? What does that mean for me? So if the process of taking out a lawsuit against somebody is very complicated and it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and you have to go, you know, forgive the exaggeration, to the far ends of the earth in order to find judges who are qualified to hear the case, well, you know what, forget it. I don't need the headache. So you know what, I'm really sorry, but I can't lend you money. But if I know that in the event that there's a dispute that needs to be, you know, brought before judges, I'm not going to have to go and take off, you know, a few days work and head into the big city. We'll be able to hand it to you locally. So fine, I'll take the risk. That's the idea. Okay. Yes?
It seems to be backwards. The most dominant mission of Hira holds no delta involvement. But it would be more straightforward to say that we don't rather than making the judge and the interrogator either a mumcha or a regular one, I want to say that in the momos, whether you're a mumcha or not a mumcha, you don't need to be a kira. You're called a mumcha, you need to be advised.
No, because there are two different issues. What? No. No. But they're two completely different issues. The matter, the manner in which we interrogate the witnesses is one issue. Something which potentially could be a hindrance, could be a reason in which a person would be reluctant to lend money because he knows that even truth. Telling witnesses, truthful witnesses will potentially be disqualified because their stories won't match up perfectly. That's one issue. There's other issue is accessibility of judges. How easy is it to access three mumchim? Apparently, the Gemara is saying, finding three mumchim is not so easy. That's already enough of it.
But that's Rashi's second.
Not second explanation, the only explanation over here. That's not a second explanation, that's the whole explanation. Again, the Gemara only brought in the whole Drish of a Chakira as a muscle, you know, as a way of showing just like Rav Chanina instituted, the Drish of a Chakira is not required by the Imam. It is why? Kidei Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lovin. So the Gemara doesn't say Hachanami, but Rashi is saying, so Hachanami here as well, that's exactly why three mumchen are not required. It's not another explanation. This is the only way to understand it. But please don't get confused in your head to think that the level of qualification of the judges will determine how, to what extent we interrogate the witnesses. There are really two different issues over here. But all of this is playing to the same issue, and that is that we want to make it easy for people to lend money, and we don't want the process, the collection process, to be fraught with difficulty, because then people will not lend money, and that's going to be a great problem for the people who need money. So we want to make the collection process easy. So collection process easy means a couple of things. That it should be easy for me to find judges when I need them, and that they should take it easy on the witnesses. They shouldn't make them crazy. Like this is a capital case. You know, ask them a few questions, and that's it. Then let me get my money. But you can ask them what color shirt he was wearing, and you can ask, you know, what minute was it? What second was it? And if the two guys don't get their ages exactly, so that's it. That's not...
Is that codified in...
Yes. Well, again, it's all relative. We'll see right now. If you, it's not too soon. No, it's not too soon. Take out the sheet. Sefer Achinuch, we'll see very quickly. Sefer Achinuch writes in source number one, Mitzvah Chakira Se'edim Heitek. Lach Kor He'edos Chakira Gedola. The Torah says that we should examine and interrogate the witnesses very thoroughly. And we should seek information from them and examine them very thoroughly with all of that, literally with all of our koach, in order that we should be able to get down to the root of the matter and to know the truth, and the real truth. Based on this, Chazal have taught us, Havi Mesunim Bedin. A famous Mishnah, first Mishnah in Perkei Avos, you should be very slow and deliberate and careful when judging other people. The whole reason behind that is so that we have time to think about the matter. And we can know the entire truth. And we shouldn't rush to justice, to the judgment. Ten, Nomis Hazakai, because God forbid, we can execute a person who is innocent, onasid mimono, or perhaps cause somebody an unnecessary monetary loss, balamas emes, because we failed to properly identify the truth. Balzen namar, and regarding this, the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, v'derasta v'chartarta v'sha'alta heitev, v'hine emes nachon hadavor. See how elaborately the Torah speaks about this. V'derasta, you should be doresh, you should seek, right? You should solicit information, v'chakarta, you should examine, v'sha'alta heitev, you should ask very, very good questions, v'hinei emes, nachon hadavor, in order to firmly, to identify the firm, established truth. Kol asher eino v'rosho, anyone who has eyes on his head, literally, yabit v'yira, ki ribo yatoros, v'kefal imi v'milo shonosh, shetichbul atore b'davazeh, Hula has hirani yafav inyan kidavar gadolu. Anybody who realizes, recognizes how descriptive and how detailed the Torah was in introducing this notion, as we just saw, that the rashi v'char kaitz v'sha'al teitevi and emes nachon adavar, it's a lot for the Torah. It's in order to emphasize how important this is. V'amud chazuk shadam ha'nefesh abriyos munachalav, that we're talking about other people's lives. V'ein laharef b'shorash mitzvah kiniglehu. Says the Sefer Chinuch, I don't have to go into long tulpulim as to what the reason for this mitzvah is. It should be obvious. When you're judging other people, you have to be very careful, and therefore the witnesses should be very thoroughly and carefully examined. And then he goes on, given the time at this point, I'm going to skip the next paragraphs, but he gives examples of what are considered chakiros, what types of questions we ask, and what are called bedikos. And basically he says that chakiros are basically standardized questions. In other words, you know, the textbook. They literally come right out of a book. Bedikos are more detailed questions, and basically it's up to the dayanim in every case to decide what types of questions that they should ask. And in fact, the Gemara is going to say later on, kolam marbe bedikos meshuvach, that the judges are to be praised for asking more and more and more questions. And part of what they're trying to do is find inconsistencies between the different witnesses, the testimony, and seeing if their stories don't really match up. If you look at the last paragraph in the Sefer Chinuch, before source number 2, it says, Echo dini nefashos, o dini mamonos, b'chla mitzvazu. The mitzvah includes all types of din. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Mishparecho yelachem, aval, amru chachonim, kidei shalol tino delas, bifnei lovin, shalonatshach ve'edi mamad, yushav hachakira. However, in order that the door should not be closed in the face of people who need money, we don't require Jewish Hakir Bedin Mamnos. Ketzad Amro Eidim Befaneinu Hilvazet Zeh Mana B'Shan Aplonis. So, for example, if the witnesses say, yeah, we were there when Ruvain lent Shimon $100, it was last year, Alpha Pishal Kivnu Sachodesh, they didn't get the month right. This guy said Adar, and this guy said Nisan, Basamakum, this guy says Tinek, this guy said it was Englewood, Below Samana, Mazbeh, this one said it was $1, this guy said it was, you know, this guy says it was like $20 bills, this guy says 50s. So they were a little fuzzy on the details about Eidu Shneim Shava, B'Shivu Yamana, but they both agree. We were there, we moved in Lenshim on $100. Eidu Shneim Kayyamas Bekach. So that's okay. If the two witnesses are basically saying the same thing, Ruvain lent Shimon, they basically got the right year, but some of the details, okay, that's okay. That's going to work by Dina Mamonos. Again, Kidei, Shilotin Adelis Bifnei Lovin, because the mob is concerned, and not the Edom, are not going to remember all the details, especially if this doesn't actually it's not a matter that's going to be discussed before the judges for many months or years later. What about other areas of halacha? Do you require Jewish Fakir in other areas of halacha? So the Mechaz Chinuch writes, in source number 2, look in the third line. V'hinei kol edotein, dina nefashos v'dina mamonos, kulon shavim v'din zeh. D'tzrichem d'yushav ha-chakirat, d'chziv mishpat echad, v'zeh min ha-torah. That we already assume in the Torah. Rabbanim tikna v'dina mamonos she'in tzarach d'yushav ha-chakirat, v'nichtov kan rak ha-dina min ha-torah, ha-klal kol edotein dina nefashos v'dina mamonos, u'malkos v'golos, kulon tzrichem d'yushav ha-chakirat min ha-torah, v'gam kein edach b'shvua. So basically, the Menachas Chinuch says this applies across the board. We're not just speaking in categories, but then there are lots of exceptions. Across the board, basically without exception, except for Dini Mamonos, but as we already saw, it's not true. It's not all Dini Mamonos. It's only what? It's only true when it comes to Hodos V'Havos. An interesting, I did 2 hours, not because I'm trying to get so fancy on you, just I discovered it towards me after I made up the sheet, so I didn't want to remember it. So I made it 2 hours. But it could really be a subset of the Menachas Chinuch. The Tzmima talks about whether or not we do Jewish Vachakira when it comes to Eidos for Gerush and a Kiddushin, you know, whether a marriage or a divorce took place. So what would you say? So which category is that? So he says, so first he explains the idea of Shalot Tanet, Shalot Tzino Delos with Nevovin. And the second line he writes, "Vada ki besof yivamos ba machlokes tanoim in be'evus isha lebalot tzrich tzarach drisha v'chakira." The Gemara is a machlokes tanoim whether we require drisha v'chakira when it comes to somebody who's testifying that a man died, and it's a question of permitting the woman to remarry. V'geder asafek who? What's the safek? Bishum diyesh bazat zad echad hadom l'dinefashos she'efshel lihistayif me'atoras eshashis la'am. On the one hand, this is something which is potentially within the realm of capital cases, because if, God forbid, a married woman thinks that she's now a widow and she remarries, you know, that's very serious business. On the other hand, we're dealing over here with something which is in the realm of the imamunus, because we're dealing with ksuba matters. But that's rova poskim the inter of Rishva Chakira v'lom izbar tamadova. Most assume that we don't require, and they don't explain the reason. The Yeshlomar, I think, says the Torah to me, Meshum Devachol Makom Avur the Eidos Erva Yalfina Bepratios Dover Dover Dechsevi Mamon, because when it comes to Dvarim Sheva Erva, when it comes to matters having to do with marriage and divorce, so we learn it out from Dina Mamonos, and so therefore it would seem the same over here. He says, based on that, I would comment that some Achronim would say that getting the Kiddushin, since there's no Tzad Mamon, since they're not really money matters, they require Yishuv HaKira, but he says, I'm not sure. Maybe getting the Kiddushin should also be sort of linked with Dina Mamas. As I'm saying this aloud to you, so I'm realizing that I may have misspoke a moment ago, because it could be that Rabbi Hanina's rule over here applies across the board to all Dina Mamas, not only Hodos, not only Havos, even though really, the driving factor was Kedeshul Tino Delispeth Nelov, and it could be, it sounds from here anyway, that it could be that it was applied now sort of across the board. Now, it happens to be that the question in Tosos over here, Shalot Tino Delispeth Nelov, 2 days in Tosos, whether it applies by like Gezeros or not. So Tosos actually has that very question. So it's not so clear. It's not cool. What is clear is that it applies by loans, and what is also clear is that our Gemara is saying that the requirement for Mumchin is also suspended when it comes to Hodos Vahavos, again for the same reason, namely Shlotino Deles Bifnei Lovin. Finally, just one last point I'll make on this, and that is the Shulchan Aruch in source number 3 writes that we don't require Yishuv HaKira when it comes to Dina Mamonis, as we just said, but then he writes at the end of this Halach in source number 3, the Nira Ladayin Shahadin Maruma, Sarach Yishuv HaKira Lahotzi Yadin Lamita. If in any situation a Dayin suspects something fishy, and he feels like something funny is going on, so of course Yishuv HaKira is required at that point, and we're not suggesting that in cases of the Imamunus, or even Hodos Lavos for that matter, that we should just, you know, passively allow, miscarriages of justice to take place in order to encourage the next guy to lend money. So it's not that the whole requirement for din is suspended, and so therefore, if a dayan feels that there's some sort of, that there's something maruma, there's something deceitful going on, so then of course he should act accordingly and be doresh v'choke the witnesses. But the formal requirement for Jewish v'chakira doesn't apply quite the same way.
To accept that lower standard, you know what I'm saying? Let's just say, well, we don't want those judges to, God forbid, if they do something not right, then they shouldn't.
Right.
But we're like bringing standard down by saying we don't require a mum case, but by definition we can just bring in anybody because they're not going to be as, they're going to be more accessible, but by definition they're also going to not going to be as, so there's going to be a little bit more of the potentially of those.
Excellent question. Good. So the Yad Rahman, the very next source, asked that question. He says, wait a second. He says, he asked exactly the same question. He says, won't the lowering of the requirement of the qualifications of judges, won't that, in a sense, bring about, ultimately a, again, he doesn't use these words, but essentially a miscarriage of justice. So what he basically goes on to say, and you gave the answer right here in your words, we didn't realize it, we don't require mumchen. Meaning, the malda still has the right, in any case, to say, you know what, this is important to me, I'm taking you to a real court. Now, I'm not going to pull 3 guys to the side after davening. I'm going to sue you in, Superior Court in downtown Manhattan, and it is your requirement as the lovet to follow me there. I'm going to summon you to a real court. But the point is that we're not going to require the malveh to do that. So if the malveh is in a position where he feels that he's willing to sort of take that risk and he would rather not the hassle, and he is not really interested in making the whole big to-do out of this, and so therefore he's just as happy to settle with the bezin of Hedyotos, that's in his option. But we're not going to require that of him, and obviously he's going to initiate the process of din. The malda has to be tovei, you have to claim money, and if the lover refuses to pay, so he's going to sue him. And then he'll decide where he wants to take him to court. But if the malda says, I want mumchim, so the Yad Rahman says, then the lover can't say, oh no, Sanhedrin dafkim alevan aleph. No, doesn't work that way. The allowance for Hedyotos is just to help out the malda if he wants it. But if he wants mumchim, he can insist on mumchim. Yeah. So, good question. So the appeal process, it's not about lower court hiring. There is a concept in appeal process if it's determined that a mistake was made, which is actually the very next question in the Gemara. The very next question in the Gemara is, Ela mayata ta'u lo yishalmu. Says the Gemara, wait a second. If in fact we are now saying that hedyotos, which means really underqualified judges, are now granted the authority by Chazal to serve as judges, so if they err, if they made a mistake, they shouldn't have to pay. What does that mean? Well, Rashi basically gives us the background of it. Rashi explains that the din is, we're going to learn this later on in this Masechta, that a Dayan Mumche has essentially, it's almost like a personal malpractice insurance, that if he makes a mistake, he will not have to pay out of his own pocket. Now, certain types of mistakes would be, the din, the ruling would be reversed, and if it's possible in cases where we can actually go ahead and get money back, let's say, so fine. But if at the end of the day the Dayanim caused somebody a loss, so if they're mumchim, if they're expert judges, in most cases they will not, you know, they have this immunity. They will not be required to pay. So says the Gemara, wait a second. If that immunity is offered to a mumche, why? Because of the fact that he's authorized by the Torah to serve as a judge. Well, now that you're saying that the rabbi is authorized a head yod to serve as a judge, he should also be granted the same immunity. Elamiyata tohu lo yishalmu, says Rashi. Head yodos bedini mamonos lo yishalmu, the cave and the brishus rabbonim kanachsi haveli kumumchen. Since they are judging with the authority of the rabbonim, just like mumchen, they should be like mumchen. B'chol mumchen bezin in toh, potim l'shalim, as the Gemara is going to say later on, dafim lamigimul, hasha'enu mumchen chayim, but it sounds from later on that only a mumche is, in fact, exempt from having to pay, but anyone else would be required. So why should it be that hedyotos have to pay if in fact they made a mistake? So says the Gemara, kol shekein atano delos bifnei lovim. Now it's not clear what the kol shekein. Kol shekein means kal v'chomer, but let's not get hung up on those two words at the moment. What the Gemara is clearly saying is this will, if we allowed hedyotos to rule and then not be held personally accountable for the errors in judgment, that will certainly be no delos bifnei lovim. Right? Says Rashi, the savar dilma to beidinu pachilu mefsedina. Because the guy's going to say, why should I... Right? So the Gemara is basically saying, we're trying to find this balance over here where we're going to... The malva will have the peace of mind knowing that if he needs to sue, it will not be such a process. We'll have to go ahead and get three mumchen. He'll be able to get three hedyotos. And hopefully, they'll do their job properly. But in the event that they really mess up, and it's clear that they had no idea what they were doing, they weren't just underqualified, but they were, you know, they were incapable of seeing this through in the proper way, so then they could be held personally accountable, and they'll have to pay him anyway, even though they... The judges. Why be a judge? Very good. It's a very good question. Nobody's forced to be a judge. Maybe a guy wants to. Maybe he works his way up. We're going to see later on in the Gemara who these people may be, the Yoshvei Kronos. Right, why be a judge? Good.
And who determines that a mistake has been made?
So that, again, you know, I don't want to, you know, I know it's a subject of a very, very complicated subject later on. It's a whole discussion. There are several mishnayos that deal with that question. But, you know, the term appeals process, you know, is probably a good term to use for now. But that's exactly what it is. It's a process. And it's going to depend whether the mistake was what's called a tov dvar mishnah, which means that the mistake was one which was, you know, there are different types of mistakes. Something where, you know, they paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, that's called Tav Dvar Mishnah. In other words, you made an error, not in judgment, you don't know the halacha. So if you don't know the halacha, that's a ruling that would be overruled. If it was a mistake in judgment, so then it's not so clear that we would rule definitively that such a judgment to be overruled. So we're going to, you know, I would encourage you to stick around to the Daf Lama Gimel at least. Yeah.
So another case in the chat that the Zion feels that the bias, he feels that the bias can excuse himself from the case. And similarly, we're talking about, you know, the person who has, I want to be a Zion, or judging the case, who has over his head, you know, being more moved from, I'm not qualified, but can he similarly excuse himself and get the, and just find someone else?
Yeah. In fact, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. One of the things, you know, one of the fascinating shadows that, you know, it's on the sheet, maybe we'll get to it tonight, is just that. If a Dayan is sitting with two, he's a smart guy, and he's sitting with two Amaratzim, and he realizes that that these guys have no idea what to do. So what are his options at that point? Because so we're going to talk about if one of the options for him to say, I don't know. Because when you say you don't know, so that automatically, that forces a process where you bring on additional judges. Can he lie and say he doesn't know? He could recuse himself if he feels there's a bias. If he feels that he doesn't know, that's any day. He says, I don't know. So he basically steps aside and we bring in two other people. There's a process for that. All right, so hopefully we'll get to that tonight as well. Okay, let me just take a quick peek. So we're not going to look at number four inside, but essentially number four, the Yavrama was Gary's question. Okay, so let's go on to the Gemara. So says the Gemara, and now this is Abi's question. Okay, good. So Abi is machabin more or less to this question. Says the Gemara, ihachi. In other words, if it's true what you're telling me now, what are you telling me now? Well, what we basically said was that the Mishnah is telling us one halacha, namely that gezeilos v'chavolos require three mumchim. But the way the Mishnah said it was dinim amnis b'shlosha. Mahin, what are the gezeilos mamas that require three mumchin? Gezeilos v'chavolos. So it says the Gemara, Yehachi, Tarti Katani. So really, you're teaching me two different dinim. Dinim mamas b'shlosha, tegiotos, gezeilos v'chavolos b'shlosha mumchin. Why is it that Rav Avahu explained that the Mishnah was teaching one din? Why not just say that the Mishnah is teaching two din? Dinim mamas b'shlosha, what does that mean? That means Shlosha Hedyotos. That's how does Vavos. And Gezeilos V'Chavolos require three mumchen. Wouldn't that be more straightforward? The Ode says the Gemara, furthermore, Shlosha Shlosha Lamali. According to Rav Avoh, why does it say Shlosha twice in the Mishnah? It could just say, Dini Mamanos B'Shlosha. Oh, I'm sorry. Dini Mamanos Gezeilos V'Chavolos. A Mahein, right? Namely, Gezeilos V'Chavolos B'Shlosha. You don't say Shlosha Shlosha, because you're only teaching one din. Namely, Gezeilos V'Chavolos B'Shlosha. So it says, Gemara, I'm a Rabbit, you're right, Tarti Katani, Mishum Rav Chanina. The Gemara is basically saying you're right. In other words, really, you could learn the Gemara, the Mishnah, a little differently than was previously taught, but basically the same lumdus is here. Namely, that we're differentiating between different areas of Dina Mamnus. Because there's a Chavos on the one hand, Hadas Chavos on the other, and based on Rav Chanina, who's taught Kadesh, Lotinal Delos, Bifnei Lovin, in order that we not place too much of a hindrance in front of people who would lend money, so therefore we relax the standards that are necessary. And essentially the adjustment that we're making right now is merely in the way that we read the Mishnah, but in terms of the actual, the conclusion, so we're sticking to what was said earlier. So that's one approach. The next approach the Gemara presents right now is sort of the opposite end of the spectrum. That's Rav Acha bar Ravika. Rav Acha bar Ravika says, Midoraisa chad nami kosher. Wow. So until now, we've been working on the assumption that three judges are the minimum. They're required, and they're required in all areas of halacha. Not only that, they have to be mumchim. Comes along Rav Acha bar Ravika and says, no, min haTorah, one judge is sufficient. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, we're familiar with this pasuk, b'tzedek tishbor amisecha. We often cite that pasuk in reference to something that's nogeya to all of us, even those in the room who are not judges. We're all judges, in a sense. B'tzedek tishbor amisecha, Chazal teach based on that. What? Famous halacha? We should be dan as chaveru l'kaschus. You should judge somebody favorably. Meaning, we're all judges. We're always judging each other, and we should judge each other favorably. That's learned from B'tzedek tishbor amisecha. Rav Acha bar Ravika says, it doesn't just mean that you should judge somebody. It's telling you that mishpat could be carried out by one person. Where in this pasuk does it say one person? I think Tishbot, Tishbot, which means, right? Right, but Tzedek, with justice, Tishbot, you shall judge Amisecha, as opposed to Tishbotu, right? So Tishbot, you shall judge in the singular form. Ella, says Rav Acha bar Ravika, Mishum Yoshve Kronos, but because they were concerned about Yoshve Kronos, what are Yoshve Kronos? When do we talk about the Yoshve Kronos? We talk about them every once in a while. When do we talk about the Yoshev Kron? We make a siyum. It's not only we make a siyum, right? Does the Gemara have in the beginning? Some Gemaras have in the beginning. Oh, yeah, here. The tefillah of is it Rechun Ben Kana, I think? Whose tefillah is it? The famous tefillah that we say when we start learning and then when we leave. So it says, Anu what? Thank you, Hashem. Modani Vanach Hashem Lakad Lokavasai Shamta Chelkim Yoshre Beis Medrash Losam Chelkim Yoshre Kronos. So there are the people that base Medrash, and then there are the Yoshre Kronos. So how do you understand Yoshre Kronos? People will sit on the street corners, right? That, let's assume for a moment that that's what that means. So Rav Acha Bidur Avika says, Midaraisa, one judge is enough. Elo Mishum Kriyoshe Kronos, they were concerned that what? That you would have a situation where a guy was selected to judge. He was a what? He was a hedyot. Not only was a hedyot, he was a Yoshiv Karen, or Yoshiv Kronos. He was a Yoshiv Kronos, and that's really bad. So basically, you have one guy, I don't know, what's a good Yiddish term for this guy? Look at this. What a rich language Yiddish is. We already have three. I was thinking Oysworth. I don't even know Yiddish, but I don't know. That's the one that came to my mind. But clearly, this guy is not the guy that you want handling this case. He's one guy. He's out there alone. And he's in this category of Yoshe Kronos. So it says the Gemara, Otto Butlasum, Milo Havi Yoshe Kronos. So if you have three, so what? You can't have three Yoshe Kronos? Unfortunately, the world is full of Yoshe Kronos. So the Gemara says, E Efshe Deles Buchad de Gummi. It's impossible you're not going to have one guy who's gummy. So I don't know how much we're going to get to tonight, but we're going to come back to that. If not tonight, we're going to learn next to explain what that means. At the moment, just accept the following simple explanation. That is that the Gemara doesn't mean literally it's impossible, but it means it's less likely. Less likely you're going to have, but it may mean more than that. But the Gemara is basically saying, really, one judge is sufficient, and it should have been okay, therefore, to have any guy come off the street and say, okay, here, Reuven claims that Shimon borrowed money, Shimon denies it, decide what should be the din. But that would have been a big, that's not a good idea, because maybe this guy is among the Yoshe Kronos, so pull three guys together. I said, go have a three also, you can have a Yoshe Kronos. Yeah, but it's either impossible, much less likely, that you can have three guys who are Yoshe Kronos. In the end, if Rav Yochai Ben Ravika, you know, is essentially, they all end up in the same place, namely that three hedyotos are sufficient in hearing matters of dina mamonos. But the question is, how do you get to there? Is it that you start min haTorah that you require three mumchin, but we relax our standards in order to what? Kadesh olotenu delos b'fnei lovin, and we say that really min haTorah, one guy is sufficient because of b'tzadik kishvan ha'mesecha, but we raise our standards because of the concern of Yoshe Kronos. And the Gemara in a moment is going to ask, what's the difference? What's the nafkamin? At the end of the day, everybody agrees you need three hedyotos. Who cares if you start here and you work your way down, or you start there and you work your way up? Yeah.
The assumption is both parties have to choose the judge?
No, generally not. But it can sometimes come to that. But there are situations, I mean, that's the subject of the third parish. Is that borer, how exactly you come to judges? But not necessarily. You know, if they go to what's called the Beis Havad, which is the term that the Yad Ramah uses, that you go to court. You know, whoever happens to be sitting on the bench that day. But if people, you know, if people are going to put together beds in themselves, then they would have to both agree. Yeah, correct. Okay. All right, so first of all, let's just spend a couple minutes talking about this term, Yoshe Kronos. A fascinating term. What does it mean? So we presented one side. Rashi, actually, we didn't look at Rashi himself. Take a look at Rashi, Gezeira Mishim Yoshe Kronos, which is found the second to last skinny line in Rashi, so towards about two-thirds down the page in Rashi, Gezeira Mishum Yoshe Kronos says, Rashi, Tagrin. Tagrin, those are merchants. She'en b'kiyin b'tid dinin. These are not necessarily bums on the street, but these are people who spend most of the day involved in other matters. You know, they're selling things in the stores, and they're not really experts when it comes to matters of law. We're concerned that they're going to get everything messed up, and they're going to, you know, acquit somebody who's guilty or exonerate somebody who's guilty and convict somebody who's innocent. So that's how Rashi says. In source number 60, Abraham has a very similar explanation. He says, Yoshe Kronos lashon keren zavis. Yoshe Kronos means like a keren zavis, like a corner. Vehein batlonin. This is referring to people who sit around and don't do much with their time. Shein oskin b'malacha, they don't even work. Elu yoshrin b'kronos ha'ir. They just sit on the street all day. Rupamim shebnei adam b'ani aleihen. V'nidon b'sneihem. There are times that people who are looking for objective parties to hear their disputes will come. V'zman shabat hidin shudin, after there's a long line coming outside of the court. Uban l'fnei elu shein yoshrin b'tel. These guys are sitting here anyway. So achmir rabbanan tzrichei shlosha. So rabbanan said, listen, if you want to go to Yoshe Kronos and have your dispute settled, that's fine. But don't go in front of one of them. You need at least three. You need at least three. Who are these guys? So the Yad Raman is a little more critical than Rashi. Rashi says they're tagrim, which means they're working, but they're not experts in law. Yad Raman says, no, Yoshikranos is Milashim Karen Zavis. These guys are sitting on the corner. Literally, they're not working. They're just sitting all day in the corners. You know, that's what they're doing with their time. Yeah. Right, that's a complimentary term in that context. Batlanim of people, but doesn't always have to mean that. I mean, I know there were times that I was called my Rebbe, a Batlan. I don't think it was meant in a complimentary way. But right, there are times that Batlanim means people who are mevatel from work and they dedicate their time to learning. That every city should have 10 Batlanim. So it's one of those words that could really go either way, but the Yad Raman over here is talking about the derogatory sense. They're not doing anything. Yeah. So there's this, it's not a perush, it's a collection, a sort of anthology of perushim called the Daf al Daf. I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't seen it in print, but they used to have the handouts, and now it's on the Bar Ilan, and maybe they have Svarim as well, so it's a nice collection of different things. So he brings down several nice explanations of this term Yoshri Kronos. He quotes Rashi, Yoshri Kronos Tagrin, Shein B'ki and B'tivdinin, and B'tzarach V'yeh Laman to grow Yoshri Kronos. So he quotes, B'sefer Eishal Avram, Pirosh HaMashah, Amr V'asachos B'Vabasar, Amr B'Yehuda, Yayin HaNimkar B'chanos Mevarchon L'Bar P'Yagafen. The Gemara says that if you buy wine in the store, you make a Bar P'Yagafen. What does that mean? It means you could assume that it's really wine. And if the guy says it's wine, you make a bar piyah gafana. I'm Rav Zid, Moder of Yehuda. Rav Zid said, however, Rav Yehuda, we mode the purtsma de mizdabin akarnasa. Rav Yehuda, we mode, however, if you buy what's called purtsma on the corner, perish respond purtsma yayin ra, yosemi, also anim kabachanos. This is a lower grade wine that you buy in the store. She'en anim ka elev kronos ear. This is the kind of stuff you find that's sold on the corners. The precious drachim, you know, where the busy street corners. Sheyishem lochan harbin medakim mayiknu kafisha. They have a lot of people spending all the time there. What? Getting drunk, and they're not looking what they're buying. Hareishu b'kranos ha'ir hayamakam yuchad shabate mirzach shayimochrin maskelu suvan. This was basic. These are the places that were designated for the bars, the pubs where people would sell drinks to drunkards. The Nikrul Gnai, Yoshri Kronos. Yoshri Kronos is really a term that's used to describe people who are drunk. But Tehillim, we find in Tehillim, it says, Yasichu bi Yoshri Shar. David HaMelech says that the people who would sit at the gates would make fun of me. The Neginos Shosei Shechar, the people who, the drunkards, would write songs about me. And with Turgum, the Targum says of it, Yimalun ala Yasvei Tara Bas Karnasa, the Zamrihon, the Uzlin, the Mishte Maris, the Beis Karsten. Ninsa Shiyoshi Kronos, Kinoi Labati Mirzach Shoshoshin Yayin Lashichos. So you have Egrashi who says Yoshi Kronos are people who are, you know, who are employed, gainfully employed, but just not experts in law. The Yad Raman says, these people are sitting on the street all day playing cards. And now we see, because these are people who are mamish drunkards. Rabbi Nechanan has a completely different explanation as to what it means Yoshi Kronos. He says, Mishum, number 8, Shochne Medinos, She'en Dehem Mumchen, Heskinu Gimel. You know how he understands Yoshri Kronos? These are people who live the Kronos. You know what Kronos means? Far away, distant lands, like the corners of the earth, where they don't have qualified judges. It's a very interesting understanding of the word Yoshri Kronos. Obviously, I don't think Rabbi Hanala would say that that's what it means in the Tefillah, Shesamcha Chelki Miyoshri Beis HaMedrash, Losamcha Chelki Miyoshri Kronos. It clearly, in that tefillah, the context of Yoshri Kronos seems to be, somewhat of a derogatory term. But it doesn't always have to mean that. Rabbi Nachman says Yoshri Kronos means people who live in far away, distant places where they just don't have judges there. So what are they going to do? They're going to rely on what they have. So there, Chazal say, one is not enough in that case. You have to make sure of at least three because the likelihood of incompetence is that much greater. Okay? Yeah? Is it possible to pay them? That's also, I keep saying this, I'm sorry. There's also going to be a discussion later on, whether or not you can pay judges. The bottom line is no. The bottom line is no, because there's going to be a great concern for obviously for bribery, but judges can get paid. So exactly how they get paid and who pays them and on what pay scale, that we'll talk about, but the litigants are not supposed to be giving money to the judges. Yes, but they're not, they should not be getting paid. They should not, you know, that's, you know, it's a serious problem for them to be getting paid. They should not be getting any favors. Yes, somebody asked before, why would they do it? You know, it's a way to pass the time. It's interesting. You know, there are people who would do anything to get out of jury duty, and there are a lot of people who, you know, just looking for a break from the, you know, regular action, whatever they do, and say, you know, it would be interesting to sit and, you know, and be involved in that. So, different, you know, you never know why somebody may want to get involved in something like that. So obviously we're not going to have time at this point to finish the page. I'll tell you where, you know, we'll pick up with the next week, and I basically already gave you a preview, but I'm just going to let you know, because where we are right now is a very interesting place in the Gemara. The Gemara is essentially saying that, that one judge is sufficient, but Mishum Yoshvi Kronos, Chazal required at least three, and even though you could in theory have three that are also Yoshvi Kronos, Yeshiv Les Buchad de Gamya. The Gemara seems to imply that if you have a situation where you have a bezin of three people, two of whom are not qualified to judge, and one is qualified, that would work. That's like a workable situation. The question is, how exactly does that work? How do you imagine that sort of playing out? So one way is, you know, you have, you know, three guys sitting down. One guy is clearly more experienced, he's more knowledgeable, and he leads the way. He tells the other people, okay, this is how we're going to handle this case, and they follow. But isn't it possible that things would go in the other direction? And we know that the Torah tells us, Achari Rab Mahasos, basically the majority wins. So you have a situation where you have three judges, two of whom are incompetent, and they decide to rule in one way, that will leave the qualified guy, you know, standing alone, and he'll be overruled. So the question that I mentioned earlier, that's a fascinating question discussed by the postgame, is to whether or not a person in this situation can basically lie. Whether a judge in that case can say, I don't know. Because if you're a judge in a case and you say those words, I don't know, so what that forces automatically is it forces us to bring on additional judges. So it's a fascinating question. The postgame debate, whether or not a judge who finds himself surrounded by incompetent judges, whether or not he can lie in order to promote justice. I mean, it's a fascinating question.
Is that related to the question where if you have 6,900 Sanhedrin who say Chaya, and one says Zakai, and if he says he's Zakai, so 69-1, and then they kill him. But if the last one who thinks he's innocent says he's Chaya, and all of them say Chaya, he isn't killed.
Correct.
Isn't that
I don't know if it's the same kind of question, but there's so many different situations that come up. But you're right, it's a very unusual, right? In order to be able to execute someone, there have to be opposing views on the panel, right? And when it's unanimous that the person is chayv misa, so we don't execute. But right, so that's a little, but here we're not talking about execution, so, you know, right, because then he would. But the same question would apply over there. You're saying, could a guy lie in that situation? Could he lie? Okay, so I guess maybe we can ask the same question. We'll see.
I vaguely recall a Gemara that says there are three instances where you're permitted not to tell the truth, and this judge case is not one of them.
Right.
We were talking about if someone's already married and whether they're...
Well, but the Gemara has an expression, mutar lishanos mipnei hashalom. So most liars probably think that what they're doing is okay, it's for the sake of peace. But in all seriousness, there does seem to be, you know, this general exception, and when that applies and how that applies, we'll have to see. If you can, hold on to your sheets. If not, I guess there'll be a new sheet next week to include these Mar Makomos. The nether will continue next Wednesday after Yom Tov already. Okay, thank you.